Mike Tegubin. Pardon me. Hello, friend, and Maranatha. Welcome to the next few moments of Bible study together, and I trust that you would get your Bible or New Testament and study along with us, as we will actually be in the book of Genesis, so you will need your full Bible, and you will need to look with us to chapter 31. We're continuing in our study concerning this subject of rejection and the impact that it has on all of our lives. As we see examples from the Word of God, it opens up our eyes to rejection and the impact that it has and the ways that it affects our lives. And we've just seen in our past study how that Laban has caught up with Jacob. Jacob has, because of his wealth and his schemes, has taken the best of the rams, the best of the cattle, and has prospered, and God has blessed Jacob abundantly. And so he has decided it's time to leave. God told him in Genesis 31 to get up and to leave. In verse 13, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, return unto the land of thy kindred. And so Jacob and his family have left. 3 days after they left, Laban found out he had gone to share the sheep, and he found out that Jacob had left, so he comes tearing after Jacob, in a hurry to catch up with Jacob, and he has found out that his idols have been stolen out of his house, and so he's really upset and angry. And the night before he catches up with Jacob, God speaks to him and tells him that he is to do nothing against Jacob for harm, and that Jacob is his property, God's property. And so Laban comes, he's still upset, he's still angry, but he's not going to do anything to Jacob because God's looking out after Jacob. And thus, and it reminds us how often God looks out after us, doesn't it? I mean, it's amazing how God is so good to us. I marvel at God's goodness in my life. I'm so undeserving of the mercy and the grace and the blessings of the Lord God, and yet He is so good. And He has special plans for Jacob, too, just like He has for every believer. And so He is looking out for Jacob, and in spite of Jacob's rejection and the impact it's had on his life and on the lives of others that he's come in contact with, he's still under the protection of Almighty God. And so he is. He and Laban have made a covenant together, an agreement, a solemn binding agreement, and they put up a pile of rocks, and they've eaten on that pile of rocks, and they've agreed with each other. Verse 52, this heap be witness, this pillar be witness, that I will not pass over this heap to thee, and that thou shalt not pass over this heap and this pillar to me for harm. The God of Abraham, the God of Nahor, the God of their father, judge betwixt us. And Jacob sware by the fear of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered sacrifice upon the mount, and called his brethren to eat bread, and they did eat bread, and tarried all night in the mount. And early in the morning Laban rose up and kissed his sons and his daughters and blessed them, and Laban departed and returned unto his place. And so God has resolved that problem and worked out that difficulty, but now Jacob is facing another problem and another difficulty, as we have previously seen in Genesis 32. Notice, beginning with verse 1, and Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, "This is God's host." And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. And Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau his brother unto the land of Seir, the country of Edom. Now remember, Esau has vowed to kill Jacob. And Jacob recalls the vow that Esau made. And so Jacob's going to seek to manipulate Esau and to get him to accept him. Jacob longs for acceptance from his brother Esau, who has vowed to kill him. Verse 4, And he commanded them, saying, "Thus shall ye speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. And I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my lord that I may find grace in thy sight." You see, Jacob is wanting to console Esau. He's wanting to resolve the differences between them. He's wanting acceptance. Oh, beloved, how he longs for acceptance from Esau. And the messengers returned to Jacob, verse 6, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Listen to those words, beloved. Esau has a small army coming with him to meet Jacob. Now you think about this impact upon Jacob when he hears these words. You think about how this makes Jacob feel. You talk about a bad situation. Here is Esau coming to meet him with 400 men. And by comparison, Jacob has nothing with which to defend himself and to fight. And so consider the fix that Jacob is in. Notice again, verse 6, And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks, and the herds, and the camels, into two bands, and said, "If Esau come to the one company and smite it, then the other company which is left shall escape." And Jacob goes to God in prayer. He's used other means and other devices to get his way and to deceive his uncle, to reject his uncle, and he's gotten out of that fix by God's grace, and now he's in a more difficult situation and a greater fix than he was in before. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding." But, beloved, aren't we prone to lean to our own understanding? Aren't we so prone to walk by sight and not by faith? 4 times the Word of God tells us, "Now the just shall live by faith." But, beloved, do we walk by faith, or do we walk by sight most of the time? Do we lean to our own understanding? Do we try to figure things out? Do we try to manipulate the situation? Do we try to resolve the circumstance in our own strength and in our own ability? Listen to this statement, beloved, by J. Taylor. "If you fix the fix that God fixed to fix you, then God has to fix another fix to fix you, because you fixed the first fix that God fixed to fix you." A very interesting statement, and a very true statement, beloved. So many times God allows us to get into fixes, into difficult situations, into difficult circumstances, because He wants to fix some area of our life. He wants to straighten out some problem within us. He wants to deliver us from some sin that's running rampant in our life and controlling us. He wants us to walk in victory. He wants us to be delivered. He wants us to walk victoriously and to bring glory and honor and praise to His name. He wants us to live above our circumstances, not under the circumstances. Let me read that statement again, beloved. If you fix the fix that God fixed to fix you, then God has to fix another fix to fix you, because you fixed the first fix that God fixed to fix you. And that is so very, very true. Jacob is coming to his wit's end, beloved. He's coming to the place where he's got no other alternative but to look to God for help. I want you to notice what the psalmist wrote over in the book of Psalms 107. If you have a Bible, look it up, or if you can remember, or jot it down. Psalm 107 and verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed out of the hand of the enemy. Oh, beloved, the Lord's able to redeem us out of the hand of the enemy. He's able to deliver us from the bad situations and circumstances that we get into. The psalmist goes on to say in verse 16, or verse 15, Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. This whole psalm deals with the situations that we get into when we walk after the flesh rather than walking after the Spirit of God. So what is Jacob going to do? Well, if you'll join us next time, we'll find out where Jacob turns. He's tried everything he knows to do. Watch his continued manipulation. Watch his continued efforts to quieten Esau's wrath, to some way, somehow, resolve this problem. Till next time, goodbye.